everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my pal Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. It's Friday, November the 19th, 2021. Our radio station is 1030 Tucson's trusted source for news talk. We will close out 11 full years, do you believe it, on the radio at the end of this year, then launch into year 12. For me, it will be the beginning of year 55 in the news gathering profession, 33 years of that. Of my career right here in Tucson. Hard to believe. We have our worldwide live listening and podcast of the show at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our media partners, we do a big shout out on Friday to Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. He's been a great supporter of our work here, as has Dan Shear, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, Jim Ninsel with the Tucson Local Media Group and its portfolio of publications, including Inside Tucson Business, Tucson Weekly, Oro Valley Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert Times. Our Friday Focus interview today, Pima County Attorney Laura Conover, who was elected last November. Laura, good to see you.
It's wonderful to be back with you, Bill.
And joining us for the first time, and we welcome him to the Buckmaster Show, Eddie Salea. Eddie, how are you?
Bill, thank you so much. I'm doing very, very well. Glad to be here.
Eddie is from the Arizona Daily Star. Among the beats he's been covering is the marijuana beat. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show about how all of that is growing.
we'll get into it just like my parents did my stash.
Yeah, there you go. Laura, it has been a year since your election. How are things going at the office? Personnel-wise, this change in culture. Barbara LaWall was the Pima County attorney for almost a quarter of a century. Before that, Barbara was a disciple of Steve Neely. So there was a certain culture with that office. Where are you right now, 1 year into this?
Bill, I am very, very pleased to say it's going very well and not a moment too soon. We have a lot on our plate, but the first agency-wide pay raise since 1997 was a massive help. I had gone out on a limb, no doubt, in thinking that if we could improve pay and get it out of such a below-market rate, that we would have people interested in returning. And that's exactly what's happening. As Chuck Huckleberry affectionately said, we've got some reversed steals from the Attorney General's office, from private practice, from firms, and from other outside jurisdictions. And it's the kind of expertise coming right into the units that gives us a precision response right where we need it. So we've got high-level talent coming into the domestic violence unit, into major crimes to prosecute homicides, and making sure that we're fully staffed right where we need to be. So it's a very, very good feeling.
Here's Eddie Salea of The Star. Eddie?
So I guess from my perspective, my questions kind of have to do with the expungements. And I've got a few. I think everybody, when Prop 207 passed, was happy that this was something that was tied into it. But the question now becomes, why you yourself have run some of these expungement clinics. And I know some critics are wondering, why would a prosecutor's office be kind of running these sort of things? Can't advocacy groups and those sort of things be the ones running those sort of things?
Oh, sure. So backing up just a step, when we talk about the overwhelming passage of Prop 207, one of the things that people were most excited about was that Arizona would finally have its first small step in offering people an opportunity to earn that clean slate. So when we say expungement, we mean the opportunity to get rid of a marijuana possession conviction off of their record. Mm. And it was great excitement. So for me, it was a mandate from the community to make that accessible. Mm. In other words, filing a motion and asking for a hearing in front of a judge and trying to figure out how to hire an attorney, you know, made the benefit start to appear a bit illusory. And as the people's office and the owner of the people's data, I was in a great position to help with expungement. When it comes to the clinics, Eddie, I suppose my only answer there is that we get such great turnout at our clinics. So it seems like we might as well continue to partner with our community stakeholders in doing so.
To kind of keep along the same line with the expungements and with those clinics, I'm hearing from attorneys when I go to like Normals and Acre 41's expungement clinics, that folks that they've helped get through the process are sometimes waiting up to 2 or 3 months before their cases are sometimes sent back. Sometimes expunged as well. Is there a backup of cases? Is there a reason for this delay? Or
I off the top of my head, Eddie, I think the law is providing the court at least 30 days to conduct whatever kind of review each judge chooses to endeavor into, and then at that 30-day mark, if they decide they need additional information, then that request is sent out. And then, yes, it can take another, then you have another 30 days to respond. And those are the wheels of justice. It can be frustrating. Mm.
I want to talk a little bit about changes in the cash bail policies, Laura Conover. There's been a big shift, hasn't there, in that whole area. Could you kind of summarize where you are right now with that, Laura Conover?
Absolutely. Cash bail was a huge issue for me and a key platform piece last year and a point of high interest nationwide and additionally locally. The cash bail system is frustrating because it fails us on both ends of the spectrum. And by that, I mean you have people charged with very serious violent crimes. And if they are able to pay, they pay and walk right back out into our community. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have people charged with low-level nonviolent crimes who continue to be held on low cash bail, especially in the misdemeanor arena.
Because they can't come up with the money.
Correct. And it's Sheriff Nanos wholeheartedly, full-throatedly agrees with me in saying how frustrating it is that the jail is improperly used in that way. It's not a hotel to store people in. It should only be, as I have trained my prosecutors 3 times now over the course of the last year, jail should only be for those who are continuing to present as an ongoing threat of harm. And those are the arguments we are making at initial appearances, which occur every day, twice a day. But the judges make their final reasoned determination on each case. And it's something that we're continuing to push on by just this last week releasing to our stakeholder partners our legislative draft to get cash out of the system, because it's going to take a legislative fix for the state of
Arizona. See, I was wondering how that is. How do you fix that? You're saying it has to go to the legislature and they have to change it. In other words, Pima County cannot go alone on this.
Correct. And what's interesting, Bill, is that it's not an issue that is nearly quite so painful in other counties. In smaller counties, for example, it's just your superior court judge who handles all cases, and initial appearances is just another kind of hearing. And so I think we're going to end up, I hope, with quite a bit of support statewide for helping us with what is just a persistent problem.
There are a lot of people who are winding up in the jail that shouldn't be there.
Agreed. Agreed. And the sheriff and I continue to be deeply frustrated about it. We undertake routine reviews of the entire jail population to try to get at the factors that are keeping people unnecessarily trapped in there. And I say this, Bill, because it's a huge safety issue. COVID is being transmitted inside the jail, and that is a threat of harm to the inmates inside there and the staff trying to keep the jail running.
Let's take a pause right here and go to the Live Line. Live Line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Matt has called us on the Live Line, and he would like to speak with Pima County Attorney Laura Conover. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, thank you for being on the show. And speaking of COVID, Laura, you know, during the COVID crisis, the constables were in the midst of trying to deal with the situation with housing and with evictions. And they did their best to mitigate the situation. But as we saw in Arizona, I think in Phoenix it was worse, in Maricopa County, where they were egregious attempts to remove people when they had a legal right to stay under COVID, under the moratoriums. But here in Pima County, we saw more attempts by the constables to work within the confines of the moratorium. But what is your office doing to, if we go through another surge and we have to deal with that situation again for public safety reasons? We can't afford to have people again evicted.
Yeah, so what I think Matt brings up a good point, and I don't think it's now if we're going through another surge. I saw those numbers yesterday on COVID. I think it was over almost 700 in Pima County. So we are in a big surge. Go ahead, Laura Conover.
We are, and I agree with Matt that it's none too soon to plan for the coming months, and the holidays aren't even on us yet, and here we are surging. Matt, thank you for raising this issue. When it comes to evictions, what I can say is that our limited role, but it's a key role, is that, in fact, we are the attorney for the constables. And so when the constables are trying to analyze the law and any kind of exceptions, critical exceptions that are at play for public safety and public health reasons as to why an eviction should not occur, they come to our civil unit, equally important to our criminal unit, for critical legal advice, sometimes 24 hours a day, Matt, on how to analyze a court order before them and what action they should take in exercising their duties. And I appreciate you noting, Matt, how seriously the constables are taking that effort. They have worked so hard to carry out their duties in a way that also is responsible for public health.
We're going to pause right here. Eddie Salaya is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. Our newsmaker interview, our Friday Focus interview, Laura Conover, Pima County attorney. Right now, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Laura and Eddie, and that's Mona's Danish Bakery. I was speaking with Steve, the owner and chief baker, yesterday. He needs those orders, Laura and Eddie, now, if possible, for Thanksgiving, about what kind of pies folks want, what kind of dinner rolls. How about a Danish Kringle? Because Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. Why not start Thanksgiving morning as you watch, I guess, the Macy's Day Parade? I think they're having it this year. And have a Danish Kringle to go with it. So I'll begin with you, Eddie. For the pies, what would be your choice on the Thanksgiving table?
Oh, man.
You have to come up with something here, Eddie.
I'm a cream pie kind of guy. I'm a banana or a chocolate cream pie.
Steven, the team at Mona's Danish Bakery can certainly fulfill that request. So you're saying you would like really a chocolate cream pie.
Chocolate cream pie sounds...
Very good. Very good. And Laura, what about you?
I'm going to second that motion.
Whoa!
And Bill, why do you always have to make me so hungry?
Well, yeah, it's Mona's Danish Bakery, right. And Thanksgiving is now less than a week away, but you two have really given me kind of an idea, because I also like a chocolate cream pie. That actually sounds absolutely delicious after you've had your feast of turkey.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. That deep Dutch baker's chocolate with the cream, that is very a good idea. And, of course, for breakfast to start Thanksgiving, the Danish Kringle. Mona's home of the Danish Kringle. They're at northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. They are open for breakfast 6:30 in the morning, Tuesday through Sunday. Their website's MonasDanishBakery.com. You can order your Thanksgiving goodies on the website. You can call, or better yet, walk into the bakery. The Buckmaster Show continues with Laura Conover right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 15 years of project delivery to the Greater Tucson region. As promised, the RTA has delivered nearly 900 projects from its 20-year 2006 voter-approved regional transportation plan, which is funded by a half-cent RTA tax. The RTA is committed to deliver the remaining plan projects. Learn more about the RTA's economic benefits at rtamobility.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Each Friday, we bring in a Friday Focus interview, a newsmaker, and today, it's Pima County Attorney Laura Conover celebrating her one-year anniversary of getting elected as the top legal official in Pima County. Eddie Salea is here as well. Eddie making his premier appearance, doing a really a bang-up job for... us. And it's great to have Eddie here. Eddie is a writer at the Arizona Daily Star. So after that big buildup, Eddie, it's all yours. You have the stage.
Bill, thank you so much. That's just hard to follow. So, Laura, I just want to kind of come back to expungements again and some of the things that I'm hearing from folks who have filed are that, hey, you know, my case is from the 80s. The arresting officer ended up not even putting up the amount of marijuana that I was apprehended with. So the court sent back to me like, hey, we need this information. You have to, you know, affirmatively have less than 2.5 ounces on you. And we don't have that information.
So what do before we do Laura that? Answers, so what I'm hearing you say, I'm just shocked. So they would just write down arrest, possession, yeah, marijuana, and they wouldn't put down how much?
Oftentimes, yes.
Whoa. Okay, Laura.
Right. Or just describe, right, what they're looking at and making it clear in everyone's minds at the time, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that this is personal possession, but it doesn't list an amount. And frankly, we're talking about, especially until my office goes paperless next year, we're talking about, you know, paperwork that can't even be found from the 70s and 80s. And here's what we're experiencing. The spirit of the law clearly intended to provide people with a way to get their cases expunged. However, judges are not advocates for the spirit of the law. They have to take the law, apply the facts, and they have asked to do so on a case-by-case basis and requested that one petition be filed at a time, which is quite laborious. California, as I understand it, went through this. They went back to the legislature and said, the spirit is to expunge people's old simple marijuana possession convictions. They tweaked the law, and now in California, they can file, prosecutors, colleagues of mine, DAs in California, file one motion and then attach a spreadsheet of thousands of names.
Really?
So that's the legislative.
That certainly speeds things up,
right? Right. And it's so critical, Bill, because if we look at simple possession alone, going back to 2000, we're looking at least 4,000 cases in Pima. If we open it up to marijuana related and include paraphernalia, we could be looking at 72,000 cases.
Oh my goodness.
That should be expunged. And so we are going to be advocating for, you know, I assume Arizona Normal is probably going to take the lead, that, you know, that's their key role in drafting the legislative fix, and we're going to be happy to advocate for that because we were ready to go. So we've got the single motion with the spreadsheet ready, and we need the legislative fix in place.
Hmm. I guess the next question just kind of is my own personal curiosity. Are you still seeing cases come before you for, I mean, maybe a little bit more than 2.5 ounces, something that, you know, we would look at as actual personal use still, but is still not subject to the letter of Prop 207's law?
I would say, Eddie, that at this point, with my guidance, with the reality on the ground of the pandemic, with the sheriff asking his colleagues not to bring people to the jail, but rather to long form them and summons them to court on all matters of low-level drug possession, because we are in a surging pandemic yet again, we are not seeing fine line cases at all. And we appreciate that. This is public safety, and that is prioritizing the needs of the community, which is domestic violence and homicide. That is where our focus is. It, from both law enforcement and in my office.
That homicide rate is very troubling this year. I think we're at a new record.
We are here in Tucson.
Yeah, yeah, new record in Tucson, Laura Conover.
We are.
Everyone seems to have a theory about it. Do you have any ideas why you think it's such a big year?
Well, the homicide spike started here and nationally in March of 2020. So,
well, what happened in March of 2020? The pandemic.
Exactly. So it coincides specifically, and it's riding along with the pandemic. That will be the subject of scholarly work, no doubt, for decades. Right now, what I do is we deal with them incoming. Largely, my office remains reactive. Law enforcement makes arrests. They bring the cases to us. Bill and Eddie, I'll tell you that I get a briefing in real time on every single homicide. There's nothing taking our emotional and mental energy more than that right now.
Is that, that's interesting to me. So you're right in there after, you know, the officers respond to the scene and the homicide team comes out there. Your people, you and your team, are immediately notified?
Yes, and with great thanks to our homicide detectives from all of the agencies, they get a hold of the homicide prosecutor on call, and then I get a briefing because it's of the utmost importance. And it helps us to track the intelligence. To get to your point, Bill, we're constantly looking for patterns. I agree with Chief Magnus that unfortunately, we've got four or five competing factors going on. There's no one easy, clear driver, although I will point to two things, which would be the proliferation of firearms and the ready, easily available use of them to solve even seemingly minor disputes. And I would say the undercurrent of stress and anxiety, especially interfamilial, and the spike in domestic violence.
Domestic violence and the homicides are often tied in.
Absolutely, absolutely. That is one clear pattern we all agree on and are working so diligently at. Along the lines of getting a briefing on each homicide, I am in constant contact with our partners, such as at Emerge.
Does that help when you're immediately, your team is involved in the timeline and the chronology once a homicide is on the scene? Does this help later on in if there is a prosecution moving forward with the case?
So our role at a scene when we are called out is only as observer. We're not any kind of participant. But it can absolutely help our homicide prosecutor, essentially, by being there physically present to consider distances, considering the distance of what a witness has observed, considering the distance between two parties, say if a shooting has occurred. It's critically important. And then we also make sure at that point that our victim services division has been called and that they are en route, because that's another critical function. You have people in trauma and in need of immediate services, and that can help also to de-escalate, and it's part of our preventative work. Tracking all of this also helps identify where and how we can increase our preventative work. We deliver gun locks all over the county, and we'll continue to do so. We're all hands on deck.
Are those free of charge?
They sure are. Mm. And Bill,
I don't know much about this.
There's a direct phone number that you can call our office in order to request a gun lock.
I don't really know about this program. This is kind of the first I've heard about. That's why I really do this show, Laura, because I learn something every day here during the noon hour. So this is a service that is provided to someone to, if they need a gun lock, they can call the office, and we'll have that number before we let you go today.
Absolutely, and I'm thrilled to tell you about it. And it's something, you know, it's largely attached to 88 Crime. I know our 88 Crime director is heavily involved in it, and it's something that was fully in action under my predecessor as well. Mm-hmm. And it is such an opportunity, Bill, and it's not just that we hand them out. We pause for a minute and we make eye contact and we say, take this gift from me, and then give this as a gift to that person in your life who you know needs this, and I need you to have that difficult conversation with them. And it's perfect right before Thanksgiving, quite frankly. There's been an uptick in handing them out because we rely on our communities and our neighborhoods and our families to know who that person is in their life that needs to receive this and needs to hear some pretty critical comments from their loved one.
We'll get that number before we let you go here in about 5 minutes, but let's switch gears here. Your fine assistant, Joe, is going to get that number for us before we leave for sure. Even if he has to leave the studio to go outside and make a phone call, we'll get it for you.
We'll find it. Yes. I know it's 724, right?
All right.
That's the county number. 724.
We will get it because it's a very important thing. But I am going to turn it over to my colleague. Eddie, where do you want to go from here in the interview?
Well, you know, I am on top of being the marijuana reporter.
Yes.
Best job in town at the Arizona Daily Star. I am also one of our breaking news reporters, so
okay.
I cover a good amount of the homicides here in town.
So you've been out there at the scene of some of these awful homicides.
I have, unfortunately.
Okay.
And I guess, you know, I think we see a trend, a lot of trends, especially with these homicides in big cities nationwide. I'm wondering, though, just to play devil's advocate here, though, you see in San Francisco that a recently elected DA is now being recalled and that there was a lot of strife within his administration. And now there are people that were within that administration calling basically for him to be recalled. Is this a fear that you might have here in Tucson, just with your bringing a little bit more liberal reforms than the last county attorney? And, you know, it's not your fault, but there's a upswing of violence here in the United States. Do you think you could be a victim of something like that?
No. And here's why. First, I'll predict that I don't think it's going to be a readily popular recall effort that will occur in San Francisco. But second and more importantly, our reform efforts here in Pima County are designed for Pima County. We don't live in San Francisco. We're nothing like that community. And so our policy and reform efforts are quite different. The heart of criminal justice reform is to use data-driven precision programming to reprioritize resources and staffing so that we are returning substance use disorder and mental health back to the medical sphere where it should be, which allows us to be prosecutors again and to focus on violent crime and victim crime. And that's going to bear fruit. So there's no concern here that all of our goodwill by the hard workers of the Pima County Attorney's Office is going to somehow go unnoticed. Those people have devoted themselves to public safety, and the community knows they're doing everything possible in spite of this nationwide trend. And when we come out of the pandemic, we know things will get better.
A few moments ago, we were talking about picking up a free gun lock. The best way to do that is to call the main number for the Pima County Attorney's Office. It's area code 520-724-5600. That's 724-5600. People can call that number and then pick up a free gun lock. And Laura Conover, that's a good step toward saving lives, isn't it?
It is. It's we're trying everything. And we get them disseminated into pediatricians' offices when they have that interview about, is there a gun in the home? Is it safe? They're in pediatricians' offices. They're everywhere we go on the weekends. We hand them out while we're expunging marijuana convictions. At any time we're meeting with the public, we have them available because every bit counts. And we all know that responsible gun ownership is something we all agree on.
I only have about a minute left. How about this shortage? Joel Feinman, the Pima County public defender, on our show a week ago today, saying he's really struggling to find people. It's a pay issue in many cases. How about that?
I understand his strife, and we were in the same shape too. You know, Bill, the studies showed that we were 20, sometimes even 30% below market.
Really?
And a terrible time to be facing that, when you can go work a lot easier hours at an easier job during a pandemic and a homicide spike. Why not go take a 30% pay raise to boot? So the first agency-wide pay raise in 1997, we committed that it would happen system-wide. So in other words, the salary administration plan that we came up with in the transition in January, it had to include the creation of a plan by the Office of Defender Services, so that the entire system would go together. It has to be equitable, or of course it would fail. And so we're so grateful to the county and the Board of Supervisors and the County Administrator's Office that they valued public safety, of course, and restored salaries where they should be.
All right, Laura Conover, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. Hope you and your family have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Bill, Eddie, back to you both.
All right, thank you very much. Eddie Salea of the Arizona Daily Star sticks around with me. We're going to talk a little bit about what Eddie does covering the marijuana beat. And overall, how big a business is this in Arizona? I think you're going to be surprised when you hear these numbers about what this really means and the money coming into Arizona, as we continue on the Buckmaster Show.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Eddie Salea is with us from the Arizona Daily Star. I wanted to carve out more time with you, Eddie. Looks like I'm going to have about 5 minutes. I wanted more time, but then again, I'm the host for the show, and there was more we needed to cover with Laura, and I thank Laura for coming in. Got a lot of good information.
Exactly. I think a county attorney kind of outweighs a local marijuana reporter.
But give me an overview. How big a deal is marijuana in the state right now?
It is as of end of September, a $1.1 billion deal.
And the money goes where?
Money goes a lot of places. Part of it goes to community colleges. A lot of it goes to public safety, both to local law enforcement as well as the DPS, state law enforcement. Part of it goes to a fund that basically is a hey, kids, don't smoke weed until you're 21, you know?
Oh, like a prevention.
A prevention, thing. Yeah, public prevention. And then part of it goes to the state general fund, a large chunk of it.
So I see dispensaries, it seems like, on every corner. Where are they getting their products?
So, you know, dispensaries are getting their products. Dispensaries here in Arizona can be vertically integrated. So a lot of dispensaries have, they may brand them under different names, but they have their own grows that a lot of, some of them are in Winslow. There is a large one up north. It's in the county area, north in Marana. For one of the dispensaries, it's located right next to it.
Who's regulating those dispensaries?
So that is the Arizona Department of Health Services. They are the regulatory agency for all the dispensaries. They're the ones who hand out the licenses. There is actually a round of licenses coming at the end of 2022, and those will probably be the last dispensary licenses issued by the state for a very long time. Dispensary licenses are tied to the amount of retail pharmacies in state. So think CVS, you know, Fry's pharmacies, those sort of things. And so for every 100 of those, there can be one marijuana dispensary.
Can anyone go into a dispensary and buy marijuana in Arizona? If you're over, I guess, 18.
It's actually 21.
Oh, it's 21.
It's 21.
Okay.
It's like alcohol.
18-year-olds
are eligible to apply for a medical marijuana license. Mm-hmm. Kids younger than that are as well, but they'll need their parent or guardian's permission. Mm-hmm. That's one thing about Arizona that is kind of gets lost with this recreational rollout.
Yes.
Arizona had a huge and very robust medical marijuana program that up until August actually outsold the sales for recreational sales. So
I would think it would be extremely lucrative to own one of these shops. I mean, to get the license, do they have to pay a lot of money?
So the original, the licensing here in Arizona is kind of different too, because it's a bit of a crapshoot. There's no guarantee that if you go through the application process that you are going to get a license. Mm-hmm. It's basically a lottery system for each round that they do. I'll hopefully be present for the next one. The last one was literally lottery balls that they draw. Mm-hmm. So these social equity dispensaries that are going to be the next round, the application fee is only $4,000 for them. For the last few rounds, I believe it was $20,000 or $25,000 for an application fee. And they had to have a piece of real estate picked out that was that met all of Prop 207's stipulations as to where dispensaries can go. You can only have them so close to a school, mm-hmm. so close to actual pharmacies and things like that. So you can make a pretty penny, but there's not very many more coming out in the next few years.
I think it was a good move on the Star to have a reporter covering this because it's a huge business. It impacts a lot of people.
I think it really does. I know Tim Steller, we were talking about him earlier. Mm-hmm. He wrote a column a few months ago comparing the impact of gambling income to the state as mm-hmm. compared to marijuana tax receipts, and it's not close.
And Eddie, we have Arizona's one of almost half of the states now have some kind of legalization.
Exactly. I think it's 16 that are, mm-hmm. including D.C., that are mm-hmm. outright legal, and then there are a few more that also
there
have medical
new,
programs.
There are nuanced areas.
Exactly.
But it's really growing.
Totally growing. By this time next year, New York's and New Mexico's recreational system should be up and going, and if the courts allow it, Montana and South Dakota's as well.
Eddie Salea, always a pleasure, and it's great to have you on the program.
Awesome. Thank you, Bill.
And look for Eddie's work in the Arizona Daily Star, not only covering the marijuana beat, but he also, as he pointed out with Laura Conover, he's a breaking news reporter as well. All right, we'll take a break right here. Matt Russell is next from Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly with our Weekend Watch.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
When the public weighed in on the first draft of the Regional Transportation Authority Plan, the RTA responded by revising the final plan before voter approval in 2006. The RTA is preparing for a new plan for voter consideration by June 2026 and invites your input on regional transportation priorities. A draft plan will be presented for further public review. Submit your input or learn more at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It is time to stir it up, baby. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's time to start planning that about a three-hour drive over east of Tucson. And once you get to Silver City, perfect time of year over in the land of enchantment. You know, when temperatures are in the 60s like they are right now over in Silver City, that's a great time to get out and do some hiking. Just kind of goof around, kick back in historic Silver City. For more on things to do and places to stay, visit Southwest New Mexico. Just spell it out. Tucsonnet.org. Let's welcome now the longtime host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, Inside Tucson Business / Tucson Weekly food and beverage columnist, Mr. Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm doing great, Bill. You know, I was just sharing with your producer that we're going to get through this weekend with some great eating and drinking, but I'm going to start my pre-Thanksgiving fast probably on Monday. So let the games begin.
Well, it's the way you've done it. I mean, you've been hosting Weekend Watch. We're, wrapping up year 11 here at the end of the year. And every year we do the pre-Thanksgiving Weekend Watch, you always say you will do the pre-Thanksgiving fast. And I know you will because, let's face it, you overeat on Thanksgiving.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, until then, how about a pizza and taco?
Yeah, check this out. You know, we've been talking about Zio Pepe on Weekend Watch before, that restaurant over on Tancredi that fuses Italian and Sonoran traditions. And the newest dish to hit the menu is a smash-up of pizza and tacos.
What?
Two of the basic food groups on my personal pyramid. Now, this one is called the Bidia Pizza, which is a pizza topped with all the ingredients that make up the traditional beef Bidia taco, mozzarella, onion, cilantro, and a pile of that iconic shredded beef. And of course, in the tradition of the Bidia taco, this pizza is served with a side of Bidia consomme for dipping. I can promise you that you won't find a pizza like this anywhere. So get over to Zio Pepe this weekend.
What's this about another opening?
Well, fans of Philippine cuisine are rejoicing this week with the opening of a restaurant dedicated to the Philippine culinary culture. It's called Fiesta Filipina, and it's open for business inside the Park Place Mall. Now, owner Thelma Ward is a native of Bulacan, Philippines, and her menu was a nod to her homeland with classic dishes like lumpia, adobo, beef caldereta, empanadas, halo-halo, and more. If you've never tried Philippine food, I don't think you can get more authentic than Fiesta Filipina, which is why it made my top picks this weekend. Bill, I imagine that you and Anne have spent some time in that part of the world.
Yeah, it's a beautiful time to visit the Philippines. Anytime's a beautiful time to visit there. Some great cuisine over there. Anything, I've heard something big's happening up at Westward Look.
Yeah, it's the Lookout Tucson Concert Series. It continues tomorrow at 6 p.m. when the Westward Look Resort hosts with the Southern Arizona Arts and Culture Alliance live and free jazz music with popular local duo Liz and Pete. They're going to perform all your favorites from yesterday and today. And since the backdrop for the performance is the Westward Look's Lookout Bar and Grill, you can enjoy a great dinner with the show, such as their signature burgers and seafood, steaks, salads, and more. The weather is going to be perfect tomorrow, so put the Lookout Tucson concert on your calendar.
Quick plug for the column.
Yeah, a popular downtown restaurant just changed up its menu, and we've all been told to, quote, expect the unexpected. I solve that mystery in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business and the Tucson Weekly.
Happy Thanksgiving, Mr. Matt Russell. Thanks, Matt.
To you and your family, thanks.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is wholly responsible for the content of the program. My thanks to everyone here at KVOI, including engineer-producer Tom Fairbanks and really the entire team at Bustos Media Tucson. Have a great weekend, everybody, and enjoy your Thanksgiving.